That's right. That's right. Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. You may remember it, and the devil may remember it, and your buddies may remember it, but I'm glad, I'm thankful this morning. God does not remember what we used to be. What a blessing. Mark chapter 11, that's good. Thank you for those testimonies this morning. Mark 11, for just a few moments, if you're willing and able, stand with us. I'll read just a couple of verses. And I want you really to pay attention. I promise you, I mean, if you've seen what I'm about to preach off of, that's all I have wrote down. Now, that may or may not mean anything, all right? But what's on my heart as far as the burden is very, very important from the text today. Verse number 12 is where I want to begin reading. And we'll read down through verse 14, and then I want to read one more verse that will be connected to this that we want to give to you this morning. The Bible said, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry." This is Jesus now. He's coming with his disciples. They've been in Jerusalem the day before. Remember, he's come in riding upon the donkey. And the crowd is saying his praises. They've cried Hosanna. And it has been quite the show of worship, so-called worship, and a coronation that they made of Jesus Christ that day. We dealt with that being a false coronation, a false profession. And we know that because they would turn around just a few days from Mark 11. And the crowd that is wanting him crowned in Mark 11 will cry, "Crucify him," and have him put to death in just a few chapters. And so he has gone back to Bethany following that event. And now this is the next day. He's coming back. He is hungry. The Bible said, verse 13, "And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came. If haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it," he's going to talk to the fig tree. Here's what he said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." The Bible said, and his disciples heard it. They were witness to what has just taken place. They watched the Lord go to the tree. They have heard what he said to the tree. And they are witnesses of what has just taken place. I want to read one more verse that actually gave me my thought. And we'll back up and we'll preach from these verses we've just read. But notice in verse number 20 of the same chapter, the Bible said, "And in the morning," this is the next day, the morning of the next day, "and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Dried up from the roots. Now I'm going to go ahead and give you my thought this morning, and we'll try to lay out a few things and give you just three main points this morning when we get there. But I'm interested in preaching today on dried roots. Dried roots. The Bible said when they came back by, what Jesus already knew the day before was the matter with the tree, that now all of a sudden the day after, the disciples see clearly what the problem is. That is, there were leaves on this fig tree for the eye to behold. There was wonderment. It looked wonderful. It looked like everything was in order. But on the next day, that tree was exposed to have the problem that it had. That is, it was dried up from the roots. I'll preach this morning just simply on dried roots. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, this morning I come to you today, Lord, mindful that without you we can do nothing. We're more aware of that now than we've ever been before. Lord, as we come before you, we ask you for that divine help. Lord, help that can only come from heaven, that help that alone is found in you to sustain us, Lord, to do the things you've called upon us to do. Lord, that is to preach the word of God. And Lord, you've laid upon our heart this thought and this text. And Lord, we've come to it this morning. I pray you'd give us clarity of thought and mind. And may the power of God rest upon us. May it be moving in this place. I pray the truths that we lay forth this morning would be pertinent in every heart. Lord, I'm preaching to mostly saved people, but Lord, I'm sure, and Lord, I'm even aware that, Lord, among us today, there are those that have yet to come that true saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, they don't have a personal relationship with God. It's not real to them. And so I pray this morning, particularly, specifically, that you would deal with every sinner's heart today. And then, Lord, those of us as a church, I pray that, Lord, you would allow us to be, thriving and fruitful. And, Lord, may the message challenge us about that and what you saved us to be. And we'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We come here to this text, we know it as the cursing of the fig tree. And the text is quite clear that Christ is hungry, him being 100% God, yet 100% man. He did grow weary at times, and he was hungry at times. This is not the first time he's been hungry in his life. We think back to the days following his baptism when he spent time in the wilderness, led there the Spirit of God. After 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, the Bible said that when he was hungered, Satan came tempting him. And he was hungry in the wilderness, and he got hungry and had a need of food in his physical body every day that he lived. And we can identify, rather he can identify with us, in that he had that sort of like passion and need as we do. And so to quench his hunger and satisfy this desire for food, he sees this fig tree. The Bible said it's a ways off. It seems to be, in fact, other gospel records that give this account say that this tree was by the wayside. It was by the side of the road. It was a public tree, not a tree on private property. And so it was easy to behold. It was easy to access. And everybody who passed by could have eaten of any fruit that it had produced. He sees it afar off. He comes to it. And the Bible said, if haply he might find anything thereon. That does not, haply doesn't mean happy, 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 like Uncle Si would speak of haply. It deals with that he expected that it would have followed through, that this is a fig tree. And fig trees in that climate, in that culture, they produce up to 3 times a year. In fact, they can produce fruit just prior to their leaves growing, but particularly when the fig tree begins to produce leaves, it is a sign that fruit ought to be coming forth from the fig tree. And so when he says, haply he might find anything thereon, it is a statement where he knows, he sees a fig tree, he knows it's a fig tree, he knows that it has leaves, and he knows that because it's a fig tree and it is leaving, that Brother Riley, it should be bearing some fruit, and he ought to be able to go and pluck thereon, even though it's not the time of figs that has come just yet. Yet this particular tree is presenting itself as though it, being a fig tree, has figs upon it. Only the Lord to find that when he gets to this tree, it is absolutely only full of leaves. It has not a measure of fruit, not a piece of fruit upon it. And we want to deal with this tree. He looks at the tree and says, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And in the immediate context, and we dealt with this in our last message on the 4 characteristics of a false coronation, that in particular, the Lord is using this fig tree and this event and the cursing of it to indict the nation of Israel for their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They have accused him of being Beelzebub, being the prince of devils. They have accused him of being a madman and a lunatic. They have accused him of being contrary and defiling the law of God given to Moses. And they have now come to a place where there's been a near complete rejection of him throughout the entirety of the nation of Israel. They still had their religion and they still had all their law and attempts at keeping the law. And they were leaf religion, and we dealt with some of that, as they looked good on the outside and they looked good to themselves. And yet the Lord knew that their religion was fruitless and that they were barren, maybe not in leaves, but in fruit. And so in cursing the fig tree, he is cursing the nation of Israel. And he is reminding them that their rejection of God and fruitless religion, their rejection of him as the Messiah and the Son of God, has now brought a curse upon them as they have rejected him. God has rejected them. And the truth is taught clearly and plainly. We do know, and let me say, that though he is cursing the fig tree, the representation of the nation of Israel, we know that fig tree is miraculously was to miraculously bud again. And we believe the fulfillment of that prophecy took place. Was it in 1947 or 48? The nation of Israel was rebirthed. And they began to inhabit that holy land again. Even to the hour and the day in which we're living, the fig tree, amen, has budded again. And God is not done with Israel, amen, the last 2,000 years. Any of the nation of Israel, any Jewish man has had to have part in the church of the living God with every other Gentile that's been saved by the grace of God. There is coming a time in which the whole nation of Israel is going to be saved. And so don't let these anti-Semites confuse you. This ain't the message today, but let me hit it while we pass that. Amen. Israel has right to that land because God said so. It doesn't matter what the liberals and the Muslims and Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran think about it. God said that's their land. It's their land to guard and protect because Jesus is coming back real soon one of these days. And thank God he's going to sit in Jerusalem and Israel is going to bud fruit one more time. Amen. And the churches across America today are getting eat up in this anti-Israel movement, and it is absolutely out of the gates of hell. And don't you dare let any lying preacher convince you otherwise what that Bible says. Amen. God ain't done with Israel. They rejected him and he has shelved them. He has cut them off. Amen. But he is putting them back in for him one of these days, and they're going to produce fruit to the honor and the glory of God. Amen. That's pretty good preaching right there. Tell everybody I said so. Amen. And so this is an indictment against the nation of Israel. And yet I find this morning there is truths for you and I today. The fact of the matter is that the issue here is not an external matter. If you read this and all you come away with is external matters, and it's a tree with leaves and no fruit, and it's all about the outside and what this tree could have presented as far as externals go, then you've missed the entirety of it. In fact, it seems to be an amazement in the disciples' life. They pay particular attention. They know that the Lord was looking for fruit from this tree. And on the next day, they began to recall what has happened in the cursing of this fig tree and the indictment that is against it. And on the next morning, verse 20 said, that as they pass by, they're coming down the same road. They're coming by the same tree. And all of a sudden, they think about what was done yesterday, what was said on yesterday. And now they they saw, the Bible said they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. I understand there's a part of this that is a divine thing. Jesus took this tree that was full of leaves and he has put a curse upon it that it will never bear fruit again. I have no problem believing that, but I really believe in my heart part of the reason that this tree was barren in the first place where fruit is concerned is that it had a deeper issue than its branches. It had a deeper issue than just being full of leaves. It had a deeper issue than that you could see with your eye. And on the next day, Peter and the disciples are able to see clearly what the issue truly was, and that is they saw at the fig tree dried up from the roots. And when we think about a tree drying up, and you'll see that in the mountains, and I guess you could even see it in a city somewhere if you've seen a tree that was withering and drying up, it does so from the top down. But this tree is drying up not from the top down, but particularly, the Bible said it is dried up from the roots, from the bottom up. And from the bottom up, and so they see this, and it sparks a conversation that we're going to preach about in time to come, in the next, maybe even next Lord's Day, if the Lord will help us. But I'm interested in the description of this tree and its problem that it's been exposed, and it is dried up from the roots. The phrase dried up simply means to desiccate. I've never used that word, never spelled that word, never said that word before. But the word desiccate, I had to look it up, and Webster said it just simply means to exhaust of moisture. That would mean dried up. It means to shrivel. It speaks of becoming arid and shrunken by scorching heat. And there's something that has been heating this tree up. There's something that has been drying out the soil. There's something, my friend, that has touched the root of this tree. The point that it has begun to shrivel, a root of it has begun to shrink up. There is a withering that is being experienced underneath what the eye could see, that the eye could see the leaves and could see the branches. And it even caught the attention of the Lord from a great ways off. But my friend, beneath the soil and beyond what the eye could see, the roots was in a shriveled state. Roots, my friend, were being desiccated. They were being exhausted of moisture. They were shriveling, my friend, beneath the soil. And all of that drying up from the roots was leading this tree to be barren and ultimately to be destroyed. As we think about this morning, I'm particularly interested in it being dried up. I'm watching lives and souls and men and families in this hour and time that seem to be drying up in soul, that beyond what you can see on the outside, there is a withering within them. There is a dryness within them. Particularly, the Bible said it was dried up, again, not in the branches. It was not the leaves, Brother Charlie, that were drying up. It was dried up from the root. That root speaks of a connection. That root speaks, my friend, of a man's connection to God and what it is connected to, that it's the root from which a man's life grows, a connection to or not with God, my friend, is going to determine the fruitfulness of our life. And so it was from the roots that the tree was dried up. It was not from the top to the bottom. It was not from the outside to the inside. Rather, the drying, the withering, the shrunkenness, the shriveling, my friend, the death that is going on in this tree, it is from the inside out. Now, I want to say to everybody who's here today, and you're not saved, that you are dead from the inside out. You are dried up in your lack of root, in your lack of any connection to God is why you feel the way you feel today. It's why you're drying up. It's why death is in your life. It's why that you have, I'm getting ahead of myself, but you have no anchor. You have no stability. You have nothing to sustain you, because when the root is dried up, my friend, the life is sooner or later, it is going to wither and it is going to die. And we live in a day where men are trying to anchor their roots into all sorts of things. There are men that have their roots anchored in a bottle. There are individuals that have their lives anchored in immorality and fornication and all sorts of sin that they think is going to bring life to them and make them feel alive. But my friend, they are dried up toward God and they're placing themselves in soil in which there is no moisture to sustain a spiritual life of a man, so that they're no better than this fig tree. They are dried up from their roots. Amen. Dried roots. Dried roots. How are your roots this morning? I'm not asking how are you presenting yourself to men. We look at you and we can see all the leaves at. And we look at you and we see the job you have and the family you have at. And we see the life that you live at. And we see all the selfies that you put out on the social medias that your life is so well put together. But I'm wondering and asking this morning, how is your soul this morning? How are you really on the inside this morning? Where is the life on the inside? Beyond the selfies, beyond the filters. Where is the condition of your soul in connection to what life really is? Bible said that at a sinner is dead in trespasses and in sin. Somebody said, well, what's that mean? All these theologians want to argue about, hey man, well, how dead is dead and how dead is the sinner really? Bible said that you're dead, period. Amen. And I can argue this morning we're worse than dead. Amen. We're worse than dead. We are corrupt and we are vile and we are wretched. Are you listening this morning? And there are people that are trying to derive a source for life and a meaning of life outside of the gospel, outside of a connection with the Lord, and they're winding up with dried roots. Amen. Dried roots. The dried roots were able to still produce some leaves, but not able to produce fruit. Amen. 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 Roots. Roots are important to a tree. In fact, the roots are far more important than the leaves are. The leaves are even, the roots are even far more important than the branches are. In fact, Jesus talked about the vine and the branches, and he talked about as we abide in the Lord is purging his vine, and he purges every branch that doesn't bring forth fruit, and he is able to what's the gardening term, prune. Amen. He is doing a pruning work in our life. And as we abide in the vine, we're the branches. And that the little shoots of our life that are not bearing forth fruit. Amen. As we abide in the Lord, the Holy Ghost and the Word of God is doing a cutting work on our life. Everything that doesn't bear fruit, he is dealing with those branches in regard to that. The root is far more important than the branches. The root is far more important than the leaves. The root and the root system of any tree, and even including the fig tree, is absolutely vital. If the root dries up, that tree is in jeopardy. I think about a root system in a tree. I'm not an arborist this morning. And some of y'all don't even know what an arborist is. That's just a tree person, all right? I'm not an arborist this morning, Brother Charlie, but I know this, that the root system of a tree is important for its stability. If a tree, I mean, you take some of these trees we see in our area up in the mountains, large trees that are 30 and 40 and 50 and even trees taller than that feet high, that my friend, if they don't have a good root system, then they cannot weather storms. They would fall. They would fall at the slightest of a breeze. It is the root system that keeps them anchored and brings stability and strength to be able to hold up when the winds blow. Amen. There are many that they can't handle the storms of life. And they fold everything today. And they, my friend, they don't get mad at me. I get overwhelmed too. But I just want to preach this morning. If you can't handle things and you don't have any stability in your life, amen, somewhere along the way, amen, where you're not rooted like you ought to be rooted, or your roots have become dry, it ain't no wonder that you, my friend, have no ground to stand on. Amen. Y'all get quiet if you want. You know I'm telling it right. We live in the most unstable generation as has ever been. The most unstable generation's ever been is the generation we're living in. And I'm telling you today from this text and this point that it is a part of a dried root system in the lives of people, and they have nothing to sustain them when things get turned upside down. Amen. Roots are important in a tree for its stability. It's important. Roots are important for, if I could put it this way, it's important for storing. And the root system is where that tree stores up, amen, the minerals and the nutrients that even all spring and summer long. You know what the trees that we see, you know what they've been doing in that root system? That root system is growing bigger and bigger. It's been pulling things through the stormy seasons and the spring rains and the sunshine, and it's been pulling oxygen out of the shallower parts of the soil system and storing all of that in preparation for what we're seeing now is the fall season, when it's going to go through just a dry external season and the leaves are going to fall and coldness is going to set in. And Brother Jack, what it has been doing, what these trees have been doing for the last two seasons, is storing and preparing so that they can be sustained through the hardships of the winter. Come spring next year, you'll see the life come back up out of them. You know why? Amen. You would even look at some of these trees in the wintertime and go, they look dead. They look dead, but they're not dead because there's a life that's in the root. There's something that is stored up in there. Amen. That tree, though it may try, it cannot keep that life from springing back up in it. We think about the spiritual application that a good root system is important in our life, that there be a storehouse of grace and a storehouse in the power of God. Amen. That the Spirit of God would be, amen, storing that up on the inside in preparation for the winter times of our life, and how that, amen, in due season, thank God, God is going to bring the life back up out of us. Amen. How's your roots doing today? Where are your roots in? What are you at? Listen, dried roots offer no stability, and dried roots offer nothing in the storehouse. Amen. The roots are important for stability and storing. They're important for supply. It's through the root system that has been stored. It's through the, in fact, I was looking at some things, studying about root systems, and one arborist said that the root system is actually the highway that moves moisture and nutrients and oxygen back up into the trunk to be distributed out into the branches so that fruit can be produced. Where you see fruit produced, it is evidence that the root system has supplied everything that tree needs to produce fruit. Amen. I didn't think I'd be this long. I told y'all I'd be quick, and y'all laughed, and y'all were right, and I was wrong. But do you have anything that is supplying life? Do you have anything that is supplying, amen, to you that it brings to you as you need it? And when the Lord is ready for fruit to be bared and produced in your life, do you have anything that is supplying you what it takes to really produce fruit? Amen. Dried roots cannot supply any. Listen, dry roots supply nothing but death. Dried roots produce no life. There's nothing to supply. There's nothing. There's no source by which to supply with. Dried roots. Roots are important for stability and supply and storing. But really in all of this, it really boils down to the fact that roots are important for a tree's survival. A tree with dried roots, and maybe in the beginnings of dried roots, if that is not attended to, if that is not addressed, if something doesn't happen, that tree sooner or later, it is going to be met with absolute devastation. It'll show up maybe in it falling over. It'll show up in decay. It'll show up. I've been in the woods all my life. Now in the woods, you can be walking around. Brother Patrick, we can be walking around and we may come up on a tree that it is evident that it has been dead a long time and it's still standing there. All the branches have been broke off and they just one long solid trunk. Amen. Half the bark is laid off on the forest floor. You know what that's evidence of? Something happened in the root system. Something happened in the root system. I remember just being a little boy walking up on trees standing as columns in the forest, evidently dead, death and destruction was evident in them. And even as a boy, Brother Larry, I could go and maybe I'd have to get my brother, but we'd rock on them things and we'd push them down. You know what happened? Somewhere along the way, dried roots showed up. Somewhere they become desiccated. Somewhere they were exhausted of moisture and nutrients that were vital to the survival of that tree. Whatever it was, be it an invasive species of bugs or a fungus that got in the ground, or maybe the nutrients in which it was growing were exhausted, and maybe it was a drought season, I don't know. Amen, but it remains the same no matter what the cause. There was a drying of that root system. Amen. Where there are dried roots, it go on and on and on and on sooner or later. Listen, a tree cannot survive with dried roots. Amen. How's your root system today? How we doing? And I remind you, Psalm 1 and verse number 2, speaking of the righteous man said, but he shall be like a tree planted. You know what that word planted means? It means rooted. A root system that it is thriving and is growing, that and a righteous man, a saved man, a righteous people, and they're like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, and they bring forth their fruit in their season. And the Bible said, their leaf also shall not wither. Amen. We're dealing this morning with a fig tree that has dried roots, but is still producing leaves and still looks good. But here's what's going to happen soon. Because of a dried root system, it can't produce fruit. All it's got is a good showing of leaves, but sooner or later, even the leaves are going to begin to wither. Amen. Amen. Saved people, if you're saved, listen, God, when he saved me from dry-rooted religion. He saved me from dry-rooted living. He saved me from the dry root that and sin had invaded my life and corrupted me and dragged me out and shriveled my life and shrunk me spiritually. And when the Lord saved me, he put life down on the inside. He restored moisture and nutrients and grace and mercy and the power of God and the Holy Ghost of God and the connection with the Word of God, so that we that are saved, we are not dry rooted anymore. We have been planted by rivers of living water. Amen. You say, I'm so dry, preacher. I'm wondering this morning if your spiritual problems are not deeper than you think. Amen. We're living in a generation, they are so connected to sin, and I could start calling out sins by the dozens. I'd get to yours sooner or later, I promise you. People are connected to that and wonder why they're so dry spiritually, Brother Larry. You cannot be a saved, righteous man and have your roots in sin and expect to have spiritual life. Amen. Let me preach a while. Can I preach a while? Can I rattle the cage or two, even if it's yours? Some of y'all look so bored when you come to church like you get nothing out of it. I wonder if that's because you got dried roots. I wonder if that's because you ain't connected to anything spiritual. You got your roots in the bottle. You got your roots on the internet and things you should have never seen. You got your roots on social media involving yourself in things that are draining and drying your life out. Saved people are to be planted by the rivers of living water and bringing forth fruit. And my friend, having no evidence of dried roots and dried withered leaves in a fruitless life. Amen. I don't want you rattling my cage. Well, it's too late. I already did. What are you connected to? Why is it you can't enjoy reading your Bible? Why is it you can't get connected in prayer at least every now and then? Amen. Why is it that the presence of God has no interest in your life? What are you rooted in? How are your roots today? Are they dry? Can we take an honest evaluation? Are we dry rooted in our life? And if so, what does that mean? Does that mean that I've always been dry and I've just been playing games all along? Or have I, as a child of God, allowed my roots to get out of Jesus and into something else? You understand this. The Bible talks about, watch it, being twice dead and what? By the what? Plucked up by the roots. Are you listening? He said, am I right, Brother Mike? He said that in one of them seven churches of Asia. I can't remember which one. I think that's where he said that. Maybe it's one of the prophets. Maybe it's Old Testament. The way y'all are looking at me, I'm doubting myself. But he did talk about in that book being twice dead and plucked up by the roots. If you're a child of God, listen, if you're a child of God, God saved you to be like a tree planted. You let your roots start drying up, God will come by and pluck you out of this world. He'll take you to a premature grave. Amen. Amen. He ain't letting his children live with dried roots. Now, if you ain't his child, you can live in the world all you want to live. You can even come to church. You can play games. You can carry off. Amen. If you ain't one of his children, listen. Amen. You can try your best to live on in dried roots. Your day's coming, but it won't be today. But if you're saved and you start drying up on God according to that book, God will deal with you about where you are drawing your source of life from. Is that right? Better believe it's right. Saved and righteous people, they're like trees planted, bringing forth fruit. You got any fruit today? Where's your fruit at? Oh, preacher, I got a lot of leaves. Where's your fruit? Dried roots can do some leaves for a little while. Where's your fruit at? Why don't you have any? Well, I showed up church today. That don't mean nothing. That's just leaves. How'd you live this week? How'd you respond this week? Amen. How did you say no to sin this week? Where was the godliness and the temperance and the love and the joy and the peace and the meekness and the goodness? And my friend, these things that only the Spirit of God can put on the inside and supply to come out on the outside. Spirit of God cannot bring any life through dried roots. Where is the fruit? Is your fruitlessness? I'm just asking. Don't get mad. You can't get mad over me asking a question. I'm asking the question, where's your fruit been? The disciples said, there's that tree. It looked wonderful from afar. It looked okay on yesterday. We know there was no fruit on it. We heard what the Lord said in cursing it. But now it is exposed. What the eye could not see on yesterday, it has finally begun to show up on this tree today. And let me tell you something about dried roots spiritually. You may keep it hid under the ground for a while. And you may have it from your mom and daddy. You may have it from the pastor. You may have it even from society. Amen. Today, but I'm telling you, in days to come and maybe tomorrow, all dried roots eventually show themselves. Amen. Notice with me out of the text, I'm done. The discovery of the dried roots. The Bible said in verse number 12, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. The Lord's hungry. The Lord is looking for some source to satisfy his desire to bring pleasure to him. He sees a fig tree, which is a type and a picture this morning, an application of our life. He sees someone that he would love to get a source of pleasure and a fulfillment of his desire out of. From afar, it looks like a good source. He comes and expecting that, and he just intends that. This is a tree I have made to bear fruit. I am expecting that it will offer me something to please me. Do you understand today? God wants your life to bring pleasure and to fulfill the desires that God made you for. I wish I could get this generation to understand that. God is, listen, you have made, if you're a sinner today, you have made yourself the enemy of God. And God created you and God gave you life. And God has given divine purpose upon your life. And in that, there is this desire that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That he would have all men to be saved. And have all men not only to be saved, but to live their life for his honor and for his glory. Glory, and so that he could be pleased with our life. Amen. The discovery of the dried roots is a sovereign divine discovery. God knows what others cannot see. He knew, Lucas, he knew when he saw the leaves and no fruit. He knew that there was a problem much deeper than the eye could see. And so this morning, understand that the discovery is, and to everybody else, and listen, you may look good to everybody else, amen, that you work with. You may look good to all of us on the outside at church this morning, and we'll shake your hand, and we'll pat you on the back, and we'll wish you well. But make no mistake about it, God seeth not as men seeth. Man looketh on the outward, but God, listen, God said to Samuel, I look upon the heart. The discovery of the dried roots is that Jesus, as he examines Jesus, as he comes personally to this tree, what a privilege it would have been for a fig tree to feed and supply and to please the desire of the Son of God that day. The Lord would have had it so, but when the Lord would have had it so, it had a problem much deeper than the eye could see. It had a discovery of dried roots. I say again this morning, one day, every dried root, spiritually speaking, is going to be exposed. Amen. Amen. You can play the part, say all the right things, still have all kinds of things hid down on the inside that your life is entangled in and hold of and trying to draw life and sustenance out of it to make you happy. One of these days, if you don't deal with God on that thing, there's going to be a discovery of what God already knows. You ain't got the real thing. Amen. The discovery of the dried roots. Notice the disappointment in the dried roots. The Bible said, and when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. That's the discovery, for the time of figs was not yet. And so this tree is prematurely presenting itself as though it is something and is offering something that it does not have the ability to present. It doesn't have the ability, let me say it this way, it doesn't have the ability to produce. The time of figs was not yet. This is not the season of figs, but here's a fig tree that is showing itself as though it is the biggest and the best and the first of all the fig trees. Amen. But only leaves. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat the fruit of thee hereafter forever. Do you hear the disappointment in the heart of the Savior toward a meager fig tree? Just toward a tree that when he was hungry was saying it could supply his desire, please his desire, yet it had not the ability to do what it was presenting itself to do, that the Lord was disappointed in a meager tree. Now everybody look up here. You can get mad at me. You can cuss me at the door this morning, but you're kidding yourself if you think his disappointment in a tree is not an illustration of a greater disappointment in the lives of men and women. Some of you have lied to yourself because you got dried roots is all you got. You can't discern truth, no way. You have lied to yourself saying, God is never disappointed in me. Show me that in the Bible. God would never be ashamed in me, one of his creation, even his own children. You've lied to yourself. You've listened to these little limp-wristed, little noodle-backed, gutless, spineless, little puppeteers in a pulpit somewhere. Now, I'm telling you, if he got that disappointed in a fig tree, I wonder what he thinks of my life half the days. And I wonder what he thinks of your life half the days. Don't you throw no songbook at me.
What about your life? What about your little budding horns? What about all the ways you act and react and are so grieving to the Holy Ghost? God don't ever disappoint me. You're lying to yourself, make yourself feel good about your dry root religion. If that's how disappointed he would be in a tree, imagine how he is with men. Everybody okay? I'm talking about a disappointment. Let me tell you something. The Lord wants you to be saved. The Lord wants your life rescued, redeemed, born again, regenerated by the power of God. He wants your life to be rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ and power of God unto salvation. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He takes no pleasure in pouring out his wrath upon men. Amen. That disappoints him when men refuse the grace of God. Amen. Disappointment in the dried roots. Notice the danger for the dried roots. You say, preacher, danger? Listen to what Jesus said. No man eat fruit of thee from hereafter forever. There is in this. Now understand it's about Israel, and we understand the connection and how all that is going to work and the implications of that upon a nation. And that particular generation, God was done with them. And he's got to raise up another generation that he's been trying to in Israel for 2,000 years. I say trying. God don't try to do nothing. God just does. In his plan and this hour, he's been working through his church. One of these days, God will take a new generation of Israel, raise them up, and they'll be saved. Amen. But there's something eternal in the statement forever. Is that right? Everybody okay? There's something very serious in the statement forever. There's a danger here that the dry roots and the rotting and the corruption and the withering and the shriveling and the connection to this source that is not providing life to the root system. Jesus said, fig tree, there are repercussions coming because of your dried root that are forever. Is everybody really with me? I've got to read you one verse and I'm done. It's not even 12 o'clock yet. I just checked, okay? I want everybody to turn to Matthew 3. Everybody turn to Matthew 3. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn here. You've got to see this. Matthew 3, verse 10, John the Baptist said, and now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. Where is it cast? Y'all talk back to me. Now, when a preacher asks you a question, you're supposed to answer back to him. That's why we don't think y'all are listening, because you don't talk back when we ask you a question. All right? Where did he say that this tree's going to be cast? Into the fire. Thank you, Clara. Wonderful. That's how you're supposed to answer. Into the fire. Pretty serious, ain't it? You know why? Why is the axe laid to the root? It's the branches that are not producing fruit, somebody would say. Cut the branches down. No, because the tree has a root problem. And the axe has to be laid to the heart of the problem. And John the Baptist said to to a bunch of leafy religious people. The day's coming, and now is. The axe is being sharpened. The axe is being whetted. It's being prepared. Judgment is getting ready to be cast upon every tree that does not bring forth good fruit. The root's going to be cut out because it's the root that is the problem. I believe the Lord's got me preaching where I need to preach. I want you to understand today the danger of a dried root is you're in danger of the judgment of God and the fires of hell. There's a lot of people in hell today. I'm watching this. I'm done preaching. I just got to wrap this thing up. We live in a day, the social media day, where everything is just so put out there. What people want you, what they want you to see, or what they want to manipulate you to think about their life. And people are getting brazen to even put their sin out all over. All over. And it's sad. You know what's sad about it? I'm watching this. I'm watching this right now. I'm watching this. I'm studying it. I'm sitting back and I'm watching people post things that are evidence of dried root. And then these people that claim to be Christians come along and prop them up in their dried root. Praise them for their leaves. Oh, you're such a good-hearted person. What's that got to do if a man's living in immorality? Amen. We got a generation. Y'all get mad at me if you want, but they are brain dead. What do you mean telling somebody who is in blatant sin, propping them up, warming them, under the name of kindness and love, and I'm a Christian, I love everybody. You're such a good individual. You got such a good heart. No, they got a dried root system. They're wretched and rotten and corrupt to the core. And I'm not saying we got to, that's what I'm doing this morning. God called me to preach it and call it out as it is. I'm not saying you got to be rude and mean. There's a danger. There's a danger, Brother Mike, I'm watching in this generation that there are people making people with dried roots who are headed to hell, and they're making them comfortable all the while they're going. I'm telling you, it's rotten and it's rank and it does not please God. Somebody needs to sound the danger. Somebody needs to sound the alarm. Dried roots don't enter into heaven. No. Dried roots do not. Listen, anybody who has zero connection to the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to heaven when they die. Jesus said, can y'all imagine him talking? If y'all seen me talk to a tree, y'all would say, that man has lost his mind. Would you not? If I go out there in them dogwoods in the parking lot, and I watched a man one day. We was servicing cookout restaurants, the fast food chain. And in Charlotte, a drunk run over some of these willow oaks, real expensive trees. They had codes, Brother Mo, in Charlotte, that trees had to be in those places where that guy run them over. So they called. They said, y'all got to go buy these trees, bring them out and plant them. So we went out, bought trees, wrapped them up on the trailer, strapped them down, drove them down to Charlotte, an hour and a half down the road. And we got there, and we was pulling these trees that had been run over, was pulling them out, was getting ready to put these new ones in. And this old guy and his little khaki cargo shorts and his little tree hugger hat come over. I said, "What are y'all doing?" We said, "We've been told buy these trees and plant these trees in the ground." He said, "You can't plant these trees in the ground. You can't plant these trees in the ground." "Well, ma'am, why can't we plant these trees in the ground?" And I'm talking about a certified nut job now. He went over, Brother Gerald, and he started rubbing on the branches of that tree. He said, "This here, this is a male tree. And in Charlotte, we need female dominant trees. We got to have female dominant trees." And he's rubbing all over that tree, talking about genders of trees. Now, if you've seen me out there holding branches of trees and talking about genders of trees, I understand trees have gender. I ain't got no desire to even learn about all that. Who cares? A tree's a tree. Put a tree in the ground, bless God. And if you see me out there, y'all would say, "That man's a nut job." Here's Jesus talking to a fig tree, telling that fig tree, they should forever associated with what's going on beneath the soil. And if that's how he talks to fig trees, if that's how he deals with fig trees, you as a creation and an image bearer of Almighty God better deal with the roots of your life. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, take the message. Help us. Lord, there's people here today that need this. How we need, Lord, this morning, Lord, to be challenged. To be challenged, Lord, about where we're drawing life from. Lord, what we're feeding on, what we're storing up within us. Lord, I pray this morning for the church. Lord, we'd be wise to evaluate this morning, this afternoon now, where we stand with God, what the real condition of our life is. Lord, would you bring a rebuke against our lack of fruit. Lord, some of us ought to be producing far more than we are. Lord, the fact of the matter is, some are not producing at all. Others, Lord, are producing less than what they should because of a root problem. Lord, I'm asking you this morning, deal with every heart, sinner and saint alike. Lord, as these have come to pray, would you please, Lord, please help us to be honest. Lord, one of these days, every soul that is in this service is going to stand before God. Lord, the shape of our life today will be known on Judgment Day. Lord, if we ignore it, if we push it aside, if we don't give any attention, Lord, to it today, the day's coming. The Savior will bring a discovery. In the tribunals of God, Lord, before God and all mankind, Lord, will be exposed, Lord, if we don't deal with it today. I pray, Lord, you'd help us. Give us, Lord, what we need today. Thank you for what you do, how you do it. Lord, draw some sinner today. Make them get honest. Lord, make them get honest. Lord, I pray they'd be able to leave here with more than just leaves and a good name among men. Lord, leave here today with a new name in glory, saved by the grace of God. Lord, we'll bless you for all you do. In Jesus' name, we